Good day, everybody. We are back for part two of our six-part series on helping you become a people magnet. You know, if you ever find yourself struggling to relate to people, or maybe you don't have enough friends, or you feel like people just don't like you the way you feel you need to be liked, there are ways that you can change that. And so we have put together a six-part series, and this is the second session. And today we're going to talk about being a listener. Learn how to listen. It's always best if you could do 80% listening and 20% talking, but talking to encourage the other person to share with you. So it's the old 80-20 rule, and it applies here as well.
What's that?
What
were you just saying?
The 80-20 rule?
Oh, I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. This is coming from unscripted Owls Hill Island. Anyways, let's roll. So Catherine is right. 80% listening, 20% talking, and figuring out what exactly do you need to do to be intentionally a great listener, and how to be a conversationalist. And some people look at being a conversationalist as, you know, I got to learn how to talk. It's like, nope, you've got it all backwards. What you really want to learn to do is be a great listener. And, you know, I always thought, like, be a great listener. I am listening. I listen all the time. I naturally listen. But there's more to listening and being a great conversationalist, i.e. a great listener, than there is to, you know, being a great conversationalist talker. And so we want to, you know, go through some of those points today. And I think you're right. Principle number two is, you know, being a great listener and turning that into building great relationships, having people that are just drawn to you. You know, when people are thinking that, oh yeah, Phil, you're a great conversationalist, what they should actually be thinking, and maybe they are, is that, wow, Phil, you're a great listener.
Yeah, and I don't think they're consciously thinking that, so it's not like they're necessarily aware that they were just really listened to. They just know they walked away from a conversation and they felt awesome. They felt like they shared and that they maybe were heard. And so they just walk away thinking, man, that was awesome. Really good conversation. And one of the main things I find with converse being a good listener, like Phil was saying, it's not about being a good talker. It's not about being a slick talker. It's about being an active listener. So you can sit there and whatever the person is saying, the words are going into your ears. So you're kind of hearing them, but are you actually listening to them? And it's not something that's passive. It's actually quite an active thing, listening. Yeah. So you listen with your mind and you listen with, you know, the intention to process what it is they're saying, not just to fire off the next question, or even worse, I think, look for an opportunity to turn the conversation around back to you. So it's actively listening to what the other person is talking about, what they're saying, and really, really hearing and absorbing what it is that they're saying.
And even actively listening through your body language. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Manaya today, our daughter, 10 years old. She's reading this book about body language. And so I was asking her, you know, what's some body language that happens or that you could do to show that you actually are listening? And she said it just happens naturally. And, you know, it might be leaning right into the conversation, leaning on your knee, or, you know, nodding your head up and down if you're agreeing with them, or shaking your head if you're disagreeing with them. You know, just because you're an active listener and a good listener doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything. You're listening, you're having a conversation with people. And so, body language factors right into that active listening.
Absolutely. Body language, tone of voice, you know, how you ask the question. So you could say, tell me about your day. Or tell me about your day, right? So tone is completely different. Along with body language is your facial expression. So are you smiling, which implies that you're open? Do you raise your eyebrows sometimes like this? Not like this, but like this.
So unbuttoning your coat.
Unbuttoning your coat.
That's one thing she said as well.
Yes, keeping your coat unbuttoned. Not folding your arms. And having good eye contact. Not that kind of eye contact where you're like a steely stare at somebody where you make them feel uncomfortable, but eye contact that sort of matches theirs. So you look at them with nice, soft, open eyes, then every so often you might look away and then you look back so they don't feel like they're being interrogated, but that they are being paid attention to.
Sometimes, you know, when I've been talking to people, I feel that it's, you know, if they're just nice people, and sometimes this is what they do, like they're just naturally great listeners and they love talking to people, is they start asking me questions about me, and I almost get drawn into this talking about myself, where what I'm trying to do is intentionally be the listener, intentionally be the person that is on my game. And I sometimes subconsciously think, like, I think that's what they're doing to me. And so I don't know whether this is wrong or whether this is right, but I'll try to turn it back to them to hear about them talk about themselves, and, you know, put it back to me to being the good listener and encouraging them to talk about themselves, and me be the active listener. Have you ever felt that way?
I have felt that way. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, when they're asking you a question, you want to answer it. Otherwise, they think you might be deflecting it or hiding right. something or not wanting to share. Because people also like when you share with them, it's sort of a two-way street. Yeah. But I think to answer the question and then turn it around back on them rather than keeping the conversation on you. Because people love to talk about themselves. That funny saying is like, well, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? Right? So people love to turn things around on them. So it's very refreshing when you actually have a conversation with someone and they don't talk about themselves the whole time.
So Catherine's talking about, you know, being self-centered, and, you know, switch that around and move into being other-centered, focused on the other person and their needs and their wants. And, you know, even like if you're in a group or a networking type setting, being other-centered means that you have to kind of, it's tough, but just switching off everything else that's going on in your mind and everything that's going on in your side vision. It's almost like you have to put on some blinders, and sometimes you have to forego the common courtesies when you're in a group in order to stay focused on the other person that you're really listening to attentively.
Absolutely. And you need to apply those things at home as well. Yeah. Not just in a group setting, but anytime you're distracted by other things, so other people or other activities. So for instance, if I'm busy working at home, or if I'm busy doing the dishes or something that's got my attention, and my child or my husband comes up to me and talks to me, I shouldn't just keep doing what I'm doing and listening with one ear, like, yep. And just sort of yip slapping them.
Because we all do that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But for someone to really feel like they've been heard and listened to, it's best to stop what we're doing, turn to look at the person. If it's a child, so valuable to get down to their level and look eye to eye and actually listen to what they're saying. And it makes the other person feel so important when you put aside what you were doing, which was important to you, to turn your attention to them and show that they are more important to you than a pile of dirty dishes, or that my child is more important to me at this very moment than, you know, checking my email or whatever it is I happen to be doing. So the way that you can make people feel the most important is stop, look at them, and focus on what it is that they're saying.
That's good, because even in conflict, that works the same kind of way, where if you're like, let's say someone is wanting to, or, you know, having conflict with you verbally, and they're in front of you and they're just going off. One of the best ways to, you know, calm a situation is not to be self-centered and start going back at them, start yelling at them, start blah, 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 blah. It's to literally switch on to listen attentively mode and zone out everything else that's going on and listen to them. Just be silent, but while you're silent, to be actively listening and doing those verbal the verbal stuff, like, you know, oh yep, okay, now what do you mean by that? Okay, and then shaking your head and really tuning in to what they're just flipping right out at on the extreme, and you'll find that they'll calm right down, and when they're done going off of you, it'll allow you to approach the situation from a softer, more passive point of view. And I'm not saying, you know, you might be backing down, but be able to view the conversation totally differently from a calm standpoint, from a listener's standpoint, versus just massively aggressive. So when you slow down and you listen, you also hear things that they might be actually saying, and it might be just massive frustration. You know, and another thing too, you know, outside of the conflict, people, and I learned this from my daughter, and I learned this from Catherine, and I think this might be a challenge with men, or men are just kind of like this, and I don't want to stereotype men, so I'm just going to blame it on me. I have a challenge where, or I did have a big challenge where, you know, Catherine and I might be having a conversation, or my daughter and I might be having a conversation, and they're not looking for advice. They're just wanting someone to listen. People crave other people to listen to them. And so in this instance, my daughter reminded me a few months back, and she was upset about, you know, something. I'm not exactly sure what it was.
We never know. She's 10.
But at the end of the, you know, during the conversation, she said, "Dad, I just need you to listen." Bam. And it's very clear. Even a 10-year-old little girl just craves her dad to listen. But I think innately, that's we as humans want, we crave other people to listen to us, to listen to our needs, our wants, our fun, our conversations, and we just want to feel wanted.
That's right. And sometimes you just need to vent a little bit, right? Not go on a tirade about complaining and ranting and that sort of thing, but sometimes you just need to vent a little bit, have somebody's ears and mind and heart on you, and then you're good to go. And I think this listening is so key to conflict resolution, because I think what happens so many times when you're in a conflict, you're kind of listening to what the person is saying, but you're really just waiting for them to finish their point so you can come back with, yeah, but, and have your point.
Right.
And then that just escalates it rather than deflating situation.
And it doesn't get to the root.
It doesn't get to the root problem.
Where if we listened, we'd probably understand maybe where they're coming from.
That's right. So the tell me more, I hear what you're saying, it sounds like, all those different things really show a person that you are listening and genuinely want to hear what it is that they have to say.
Yeah, so pay exclusive attention to the people that you're talking to. And, you know, I know we've been off on a bit of a tangent with, you know, listening and conflict, but really the principle remains the same in anything. And to strengthen relationships, if you're in business and you're a big part of your business is interacting with prospects or clients, if you're not attentively listening to their needs or to even just their conversations, you're going to miss some vital clues that may down the road keep that person as a client or get that personal company as a client, because you just missed little clues. You know, one day they might be talking about fishing and you totally missed it because you weren't paying attention, or you're more focused on self and making that sale that day versus the sale every day for the rest of the, you know, next couple of years. If you had clued into a couple of things they might be saying, like they're, you're talking about fishing, so that if you listen to that, it'll allow you to engage that person about fishing. And you might be thinking, what the heck does fishing have to do with selling vacuum cleaners or selling cars? Well, it's all about, people don't buy what you got, they don't buy what you have. They buy because they like you. And helping people like you, which was part of really, it's the series of which we're doing, the 6x series, is helping other people like you. This is part of it, is listening. Listening attentively, listening exclusively to the other person, listening actively, and you'll see mass results from doing that.
Okay, so we're going to do just a quick role play for you for just a minute, to show you an example of how to ask questions to keep a conversation going and to get to know the other person. So here's the situation. I'm just gonna let it go for a minute, but here's the situation. I'm in a coffee shop lineup and Phil is in the coffee shop lineup, and I turn to Phil and I say, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great, thanks, yourself.
I see you got, I'm doing great. It looks like you got a whole bunch of sawdust on you. You been out chopping some wood?
I have been out chopping some wood. I have. I know I don't look like a wood chopper, but today I was out chopping wood.
No, you definitely don't look like a wood chopper. So you, what kind of chainsaw do you use?
I think it's called a still.
A still?
Yeah, it's my husband's, so I don't really know much about it other than how to use it.
What do you love about chopping wood?
Well, you know what? It's not really the chopping wood that I like so much, but I do like the result. I like the cleared space. We just moved into a new spot, and so
where'd you move to?
So we're clearing out some stuff. Oh, we moved out to an island just down the south shore of Nova Scotia. Nice. Awesome little spot, but there's tons of dead wood that needs to be gone. So
you said you love clearing spots. Like, what can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I look at the I look at our yard. And we have, like, there's some dead wood from trees that have fallen over during hurricanes over the last couple of years because the property we moved into was totally not taken care of for a bunch of years. Then there's some other ones that are growing. They're just kind of ugly and spindly looking. And so maybe it's a personality thing. I just like to have the clear, clean lines, get rid of the clutter.
So you prefer mowing lawns, or are you going to plant shrubs and things like that?
No, I actually kind of like mowing the lawn.
You do, do you?
I like mowing lawns. I like shoveling snow. It's a weird thing, I know.
What do you love about mowing lawns and shoveling snow?
Because you can go from weedy and disgusting, you mow it, 30 minutes later, it's awesome. It looks beautiful. Same thing with shoveling snow. There's snow everywhere, and you can't get your car out, and you do a nice little clear path, and it's done.
Nice.
So there's a good example of how Phil asked me questions for a minute or so. He didn't once say, oh, I like mowing lawns too. Tell me about that. Or, yeah, I just moved recently too and the place was a disaster. He just kept the focus totally on me and what was important to me. So we do have a challenge to issue you today, encourage you to do this challenge. You want to explain what it is? Okay. So we're going to issue you a challenge today. I'm going to suggest that you take 5 minutes, have a conversation with your spouse or your friend or your child, and for 5 minutes, keep the conversation about them. Ask questions, don't turn it around to you, and see how challenging it can be to go through a whole conversation without saying the word I.
It's really challenging.
It is challenging.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's challenging. So that's the challenge that we're going to encourage you to do today. Just take 5 minutes, see how you do. Jot down some little things that you notice about yourself when you're going through this exercise. So that's it for today. We're going to join you next time with another principle for how to get people to like you and how to become a people magnet.
All right. We'll see you guys later.